Last Sunday we looked at one aspect of being a Christian as that characteristic of loving the truth. And I believe that this is one of the attributes of a true Christian, and that is that they love the truth. As I mentioned, sometimes we try to identify truth by categorizing it as plain truth or simple truth or harsh truth or gospel truth, but that's just our attempt to try to emphasize either the simplicity or the harshness of a truth, because truth is truth and it is never anything else but truth. But it also occurred to me that just because people label something the truth, that doesn't mean that it is the truth. A very good example of that is the Armstrongs, whether it's the father or the son, Herbert W. or Garner Ted. They had a publication called The Plain Truth. And I suppose The Plain Truth was one of the magazines filled with the most falsehoods of any magazine you could buy. So just because people label something the truth, that doesn't mean that it is the truth. And I think that's because if we did that, we'd have to label things that are lies or false, and I don't know of any group of people that label themselves as a false church. I don't know of any apostle that labels himself as a false apostle. It's up to us to determine what is the truth. And well, the way we determine the truth is by looking into the Word of God. The Bible is the truth. Now, it may not be the only truth, but it is the truth. When I say the only truth, there are other truths that are not recorded in the Bible from the viewpoint of physics or arithmetic, scientific facts, so-called. Many of these things are truth, and they're not antagonistic to the Bible. And the Bible, of course, contains all the truth that any person needs to know about God, to know God's will, and to serve God. In other words, you don't need anything else but the Bible in order to know how to be saved. You don't have to have any other appendages to it. And you don't have to have any information from any other source. And I notice now we're getting a barrage of information coming from the Mormons saying that they believe in Jesus Christ. And yet, what about the American people? Didn't God speak to them? Well, it would seem unfair if he didn't, wouldn't it? So Jesus, after his resurrection, came to America and visited the American people and actually had a Bible prepared just for the American people. And wouldn't you like to have one? And that's the Book of Mormon. Now, this is the lie that they're telling, but they say it's the truth. But it isn't the truth, because the Bible has been completed as a revelation from God since the days of the New Testament. So just because people preach something from a pulpit, that doesn't mean it's the truth. Just because they call it the truth, that doesn't mean it's the truth. And just because they've practiced it a long time, it is some way metamorphosed into truth. Now, people now believe that sprinkling for baptism is truth because people have been doing it for so long. In fact, people have sprinkled and have poured as an act of baptism, so-called, for such a long period of time that now it's included in the definitions that we find in our secular writings, such as the dictionary. But it wasn't the truth when John baptized Jesus, and it wasn't the truth when Paul was baptized, and it wasn't the truth when the Waldense is baptized, and it's not the truth today. No matter if it has been practiced 400 years or 500 years, simply the longevity of a practice does not make it true. I believe God's people are people who know the truth. They're people who realize that truth is important, and they're willing, as some of our forefathers have done, they're willing to die for the truth. Now, we usually like to weigh the importance of a particular thing by what it'll do for us. If we're looking at an insurance policy, we're interested in how much it costs, but we're also interested in what will this do for me? What will it do for my family? How much money will it pay at my death? How much will it pay if I'm suddenly stricken with disease and incapacitated? What will it do for me? We look oftentimes at higher education as what will this equip me to do? If I take this particular study and complete it, can I get a better job? Will I have more money? Will I have better benefits? We're interested in what something will do for us. So I think it's a legitimate question and concern for us to say, what will the truth do for us? Is it of benefit? I think it is. For instance, the truth will sanctify us. You say, but I don't want to be sanctified. I don't want that kind of Pentecostal experience. I don't want to speak in tongues. And I know that I'm a sinner, so how could I be sanctified? Well, again, the way we think has been brought about by listening to those people preach who do not preach and teach the truth. Sanctification is not some strange emotional spiritual experience. Sanctification is not speaking in tongues, and sanctification isn't living without sin. Sanctification is simply being set apart and equipped to serve God. Jesus said in John 17 and 17 that he was praying that God the Father would sanctify his apostles and his followers, and that they would be sanctified through the truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. How are we equipped to serve God? By the truth. The greatest equipment that you can have in order to serve God acceptably is the truth. And if you don't have the truth, no matter how much other things you know and no matter how much experience you get in other fields, if you don't have the truth, you haven't been set apart to acceptably serve God. So we are set apart to serve God by the truth. The truth will purify us. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Seeing that ye have purified your souls. How? In obeying the truth. Nothing happens when we obey that which is false, except we dig a hole deeper for ourselves in sin and in frustration. But when we obey and do what the truth teaches us to do, then we become more pure. Our lives become purer so that God can use them. Truth is a part of our armor. In Ephesians 6:14, stand therefore having your loins gird about with truth. In this panoply recorded in the sixth chapter of Ephesians, Paul tries to describe the Christian soldier as he stands ready for battle. And he describes all of the armor, the shield, and all the other things that we are to possess in order to withstand the fiery darts of Satan. And one of the essential pieces of equipment that we must possess is that of having our loins girt about so that we will not be exposed to error. And the truth is said to be here a part of our armor. The truth delivers us. Psalm 57:3. He shall send from heaven and save me from reproach of him that would swallow me up. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. Here, mercy as a companion of truth is presented as being twin factors in the deliverance of God's people, in the saving of God's people. So truth is a means by which God delivers us. We may think that we can, quote, save ourselves from a lot of misery by lying. And that's usually why we lie. We've been caught in some particular bad circumstance, so we feel impelled or forced to lie ourselves out of it. We see that happening to politicians. They decide that something has happened that is bad, it'll hurt their chances for election or re-election, so they try to lie themselves out of a circumstance. You can't lie yourself out of a circumstance. You can only dig the hole deeper. We have to be delivered by truth. As sometimes as unpleasant as the consequences for owning up to the truth and confessing the truth might be, the best route under every circumstance in order to be delivered is to use truth and mercy. Truth is our shield. His truth, that is God's truth, shall be my shield and buckler. A shield was the shield that the soldier carried who carried a spear. And it was heavier and different than the buckler. The buckler was made of wood. It was lighter. It was covered with thick leather. And therefore, the soldiers that carried a bow and arrow, they were the ones who used the buckler. But they were exactly for the same purpose. The shield would withstand the spear, and the buckler would withstand the arrows. So the Word of God, truth, is our shield, and the truth is our buckler. Now I think we need to come to a very important concept about the truth. And that is, the truth is vitally connected to the church. I think in our age there is the idea that there is the truth as it's revealed in the Bible, and this truth is sort of a, quote, universal truth that applies to the idea of a universal church, but that the so-called local church is an inferior body. And therefore, whatever its truths happen to be, such as its doctrines, are of lesser value than the truths that belong to the great so-called universal church. For instance, there'd be the truth of salvation. Now, that'd be a truth that belongs in the great universal church. But the truth about baptism, now that'd be a truth that belongs in the local church because it's sectarian. There's the truth, for instance, about the Lord's Supper. Now, that's a truth that doesn't fit well in the great universal church, so we'll just let it be a local church doctrine because it has inferior importance. It is of lesser importance than this big truth that all of us can agree on. Now, people may not state that, but it's certainly inferred in the way they live and in the stance that they maintain, that there's a greater truth for all humanity and for every denomination, then there's a lesser truth that is denominational and sectarian. So this denominational and sectarian truth is not really important. It's just bigger truth that we all ought to strive for and forget this narrow sectarian, baptistic, or denominational truth. And I think that is a false concept. It's an erroneous view of truth. Because the Bible says that the church is the ground, the foundation of the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 3, it is referred to as the pillar and ground of the truth. And this simply means, the word ground there means the foundation of the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground or foundation of the truth. There are a lot of people who say, let's find the truth and then find a church, because the church is of lesser importance to the real truth. So what do you do? Well, you look in the Bible and you find the truth about salvation. And then after that, it's up to you to sort of look around and find a church that suits your personality. Find a church that serves your own peculiar interest. If you're a very emotional person and you like to have a lot of emotion in the services, then God understands that, so you find you a good Pentecostal church. And there is no such thing as that, as a good Pentecostal church. But if you're sort of dry and intellectual and you're not really in favor of a lot of emotionalism and hand clapping and carrying on, you're just more staid than that, well, find yourself a good Presbyterian church. And there's not one of those either. And then you're sort of, you know, you found this greater body of truth. Now just find you a lesser body of truth and get involved in that. And again, that's false. Because the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. I think as a pillar, it upholds the truth. As the ground, it is the foundation of the truth. The idea that we can acceptably serve God by serving Him outside some scriptural New Testament church is an absurdity, because in the church there is the truth as it is presented nowhere else in the world. I didn't say the church was the only place you could find the truth. I don't believe that at all. But I believe you can find more truth in a New Testament church than you can find anywhere else on earth. You can find more truth there. You can't find it exclusively there. In other words, you can take this Bible out in the jungle and it's the truth. If you're just sitting under a tree and you're the only person there, it's the truth. But I think when it comes to preaching the truth and teaching the truth and the Holy Spirit working with the truth and God honoring the truth, that the New Testament church is the greatest place for us to do that. Now, it just simply means that the church is important to the truth. And the offices of the church ought to be involved as truth tellers. That is, the pastors of the church ought to be involved in telling the truth. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul writes of this particular concept. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgment of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are at least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. It is so that there is not a wise man among you, no, not even one, that shall be able to judge between his brethren. What he's talking about here is that the church should so know the truth and so be affected by the truth that we can successfully tell the truth and be involved in the truth and therefore judge successfully. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, and in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, and fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth. Paul said there are many ways that the ministry should not be offensive and should not offend in the sense of its lacking. We ought to be willing to do many things so that the ministry would not be offended or offend people. And one of the ways that the ministry keeps from offending God is by preaching the truth. And the office of a deacon, I thought about this as I was preparing this message. You know, the office of a deacon is a truth office. And men who are ordained to the office of the ministry, when they are truthful men, when they're men of truth, men who love the truth, the office of deacon is enhanced immensely and immeasurably. A lot of times we think a deacon is, this outstanding personality with this outgoing manner, a man with a ready handshake and a ready smile, a man who mixes well with the people and things of that nature. And these are not hindrances, but they're certainly not what the deaconship is all about. A deacon is a man given to truth, like a pastor is a man given to truth, like the church itself is an institution given to truth, and like all the members, they're people who love the truth and are given the truth. We study the Bible so we can rightly divide the truth. Thy word is truth. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. That's the Bible. Whatever is not true is a lie. The devil, the Bible tells us, is a liar. And I suppose this is one of the statements that created a lot of serious difficulty for Jesus Christ. You know, if Jesus had said in a very pompous way, all of us are working for the same place. If he had addressed the Pharisees and said, why, you people worship the one true and living God, and I worship the one true and living God. Now, your way is a little different from my way, but I just want all of you Pharisees to know that you serve God your way, and I serve God my way, and your way is as good as my way. It's just the way we see things, and therefore you worship God the way you see the best or fit, and I worship God the way I see best. And it just means that whether you worship Him your way or I worship Him my way, then God is happy because we worship Him. Jesus didn't say that, but He did say in John 8:44, and I think this is the most stinging rebuke that you can find that He ever addressed the Pharisees. Ye are of your father the devil. Now, that doesn't sound like ecumenical doctrine, does it? You are of your father the devil. Now, here's Jesus, who's a Jew. These people are Jews. They have just the same genealogy that he has, that is, for as legitimate genealogy is concerned. They open the Old Testament and read from it just like he does. Now, they have so many things in common. But all these things they had in common didn't mean that what they said and did was the truth. And Jesus said, you are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Don't ever say that for the sake of God you were willing to tell a lie, as though a lie, if it is presented as being from God, that would make it the truth. That's not so. A lie is a lie is a lie. It doesn't make any difference if I tell it from this pulpit or if I tell it out in the woods somewhere or someone speaks it in a bar. The surrounding is not going to make it better. If it's surrounded by sacred songs, it's still a lie. It's just a lie. And God is not the father of a lie. Satan is the father of a lie. So truth and lies are opposite. Truth comes from God. God is the truth. The Bible is the truth. The Bible is the word of truth. But a lie is from Satan. And it'll always be from Satan. It always has been from Satan. And a lie will never come from God, no matter how much good we might think it would do. A lie never proceeds from God's mouth, and it never proceeds from the heart and mind of God. The truth. God's people love the truth. They'll die for the truth. They'll ride miles to get to hear the truth. They'll make every sacrifice imaginable to man for the truth, to hear the truth, to abide in the truth, to do the truth, to be a part of the truth. And I think the converse of it is that good, solid, Baptist, Christian people hate that which is not the truth. They learn to despise that which leads astray, and that which has come from Satan. And they have a very strong aversion to that which is based upon things not found in the Word of God. I know what the truth is. The truth is what the Bible says it is. And we can know the truth. And listen, the truth can make us free.